This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Do you prefer it boiled for 3 or 4 minutes? Or maybe even hard-boiled, fried, scrambled, or poached? On average, we consume as many as 160 eggs per year, and for many, it's an affordable and easy source of protein. But with rising feedstock and energy costs, is this industry close to breaking point? Questions we posed to the British Egg Industry Council, whilst also drawing parallels with the situation in Malaysia. Joining us this morning is Mark Williams, CEO and Secretary of the British Egg Industry Council, otherwise known as BEIC. Good morning, Mark. Now, let's start by giving some context. So the British Egg Industry Council is an interprofessional organization of 11 trade associations representing the British egg industry. Now, after some reading, I have discovered that Malaysia and the UK are more similar than we think. Some of the headwinds we face are identical, which is rising costs. Now, I'm curious, how much has this added to the cost of a dozen eggs compared to a year ago?
Thank you very much for inviting me onto your program this morning. Yes, rising costs are a huge concern to any egg producer. We as egg producers in the UK have been doing our real best to keep costs, you know, increases to a minimum. But the reality is now we're seeing egg prices start to rise. And these are factors outside our control. We were already seeing, you know, post-COVID supply chain issues with raw materials. And now, of course, with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, it's meant that raw material prices have really spiked. So, for example, we mostly use wheat. As you know, that is the basic cereal in a laying hen's feed ration. And what's happened is that even though we don't actually import wheat from Ukraine, we're still subject to world prices. And that's why we've seen, I mean, feed prices, by the time you've put wheat, soya and vitamins, minerals to make up a nice feed ration for a laying hen, feed prices have gone up by 50%, which is a huge increase.
Yeah, and I understand also other costs has gone up, right? Transportation, packaging, and even labour costs. So roughly how much has this added to a cost of dozen eggs compared to a year ago then?
Probably in the UK, it's probably around 30 to 40 pence per dozen. So we work on the basis £1. Mm. £1 sterling is about 5 Malaysian ringgits.
Yes.
As an easy conversion. So a significant increase.
And this rising cost, is it here to stay? I mean, it's driven in part by the Ukraine war, but with no sign of that ending, does it mean that it's almost impossible for you to actually implement, whether it be it economies of scale to reduce costs? Is it a challenge?
It is a huge challenge, and it's a very good question you pose. And I suppose my gut feeling is that there are still millions of tons in Ukrainian grain stores from last year's harvest, which need to be taken out of those stores and exported. Now, clearly, this year's grain harvest is going to be inhibited, particularly by the conflict in the east. But, you know, we all want peace there. Of course we do. And I think as soon as peace comes, then markets will start to stabilize, you know, as grain then is able to move. But, you know, this isn't just an effect on the egg industry here or in the UK or in Malaysia. This is effect on any industry that uses grain, whether it be milling grain for bread making or lower quality grain for feed wheat, feed raw materials for laying hens and pigs and other animal species.
So, Mark, at this current cost versus the average prices that you sell it to, be it retailers or to the food services, are British farmers losing money on every egg they produce, and roughly by how much?
Oh, God. Again, a really good question. The answer would be yes, they are losing money at the moment. Mm. We've estimated that farmers need, you know, a significant percentage increase. That is very, very difficult to obtain.
I'm going to ask you, why is it difficult to obtain? Because I did a bit of mystery shopping, right? And I looked at the UK West Tesco website to find out how much they're charging for a dozen eggs. So £2.20 for a dozen free-range eggs. So am I guessing that this is below the average cost of producing, or is it, or you're just barely breaking even?
No, £2.20. It roughly costs around £1.35 to produce a dozen free-range eggs. But that is just a farm price. By the time it's then transported to the packing centre, put into a nice box, and obviously weight graded and quality graded, boxed up and then sent off to a retailer, there are additional costs there. In many ways, we as an industry have been selling our eggs for too low a cost for many years, which has meant then there's always been economic pressure on producers. That has been managed. And as I said at the beginning, you know, we are responsible in that we obviously want to keep costs down for consumers. But because of the cost crisis going on at the moment and the huge increase in particularly food raw material prices and transport costs, fuel, energy, etc., then these cost increases are going to have to be passed on, sadly. Otherwise, we just will not have producers keeping on producing eggs.
Is there pressure, however, from the large retailers, the supermarket chains? Do they have very powerful clout in the UK? Because I read that at a recent pig and poultry fair, the British Free Range Association invited them to participate. They didn't even show up though, and this is the likes of Sainsbury, Asda, Waitrose. Of course, it's their interest to keep prices low for their customers. So what is going to give eventually though?
Well, I think at the end of the day, to answer your question directly, yes, retailers are very hard taskmasters. Mm. You know, and that's not just in the UK, it's in every
global
country. It's global. It's in every country around the world. And they do a good job at keeping, as I always put it, government's food price inflation in check. Well, clearly in the UK, that's all gone a bit haywire at the moment because our retail price increase at the moment is something like 10%, forecast to go to 11% very shortly. So again, not only are the producers being badly affected by cost price increases, so are consumers. Mm. So naturally, retailers who are buying our eggs want to not increase the price of eggs to consumers any more than they have to. So somewhere there has to be a middle ground, which then allows producers to be able to make a living, but at the same time allows consumers to not have to pay an excessive price for their eggs.
Are you any closer to reaching that middle ground though?
Yeah, I mean, discussions go on all the time and negotiations between the supply companies and retailers. And I'm confident that at the end of the day, you know, there is recognition that because eggs are such a high quality protein packed full of vitamins and minerals and are great for everyone to eat, that, you know, everybody recognises the middle ground has to be found. So I'm fairly confident on that.
In the UK, let me be clear, there are no price controls, right, on eggs?
No, there are no price controls at all.
Because in Malaysia, there are price ceilings when it comes to eggs. So it's 45 cents for grade A, 43 cents for grade B, 41 cents for grade C. And the government does subsidise this cost by 5 cents per egg. But I'm curious about your perspective. Do you think such a price mechanism actually is counterproductive?
It's difficult for me to comment because when we were part of the European Union and we were there for 40 plus years, even though Europe operated the common agricultural policy, eggs were never really part of that. As I always used to say, we were part of the light CAP regime. And by that, egg producers who were exporting out of the European Union did benefit from export subsidies when they were available. So in other words, if they were sending, I don't know, eggs out of the European Union to, let's say, an Asian country, for example, then an export subsidy could be given to assist that trade. Mm. However, that all stopped many years ago. So we've always been totally subject to the market, supply and demand. So if we produce too much, then prices get affected. If we produce too little, then prices also get affected the other
but
way.
But it means that industry auto-corrects itself, doesn't it, on some level?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, nobody is allowed to manage a market because that is quite rightly illegal. Mm. You know, you just don't do that. But at the end of the day, you know, no egg producer is going to produce eggs unless he or she has a market to sell those eggs to.
And because, some freedom to price it at the right price.
Well, absolutely. And if the pricing isn't right, then the producer won't produce those eggs until the pricing corrects itself. The difference between us and the poultry meat, in other words, the broiler industry, is that their cycles tend to be around 8 weeks. okay? Whereas a laying hen's life tends to be 13, 14 months. So the cycle length is much longer to do any correction that's needed.
Okay, so then it can be painful, or at least the adjustment takes longer than expected, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, but give us some colour, Mark, in terms of how many farmers are really going out of business in the UK. And the reason why I'm asking this is because should we then be concerned about food security, be it whether in the UK or in Malaysia, if this business is not profitable?
That's a really, really important question. And for any country, I firmly believe that it's the government's responsibility to ensure that its citizens have access to high quality, safe food.
Mm.
Okay. So if you want to call that food security, then that's absolutely fine. I think there is examples I could give you in the UK whereby we've seen politicians in the past who've been very keen to sort of agree trade agreements with different countries. Some of those standards, particularly on food safety and most certainly on animal welfare, are not the same as what those which are operated within the UK. So straight away, you're effectively penalising farmers in the UK because if they have to meet higher standards but then could be undercut by lower priced imports, and they're lower priced because they don't comply with the same standards, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
Then that's wrong. So myself and colleagues in other livestock industries across the UK have been saying to successive governments for many years that that is something that really should not be allowed to happen.
Will some farmers also then put up their hands and say, enough, you know, I really am not making much money. If not, I'm losing it. And then that causes a lot of farmers to actually shut down. So, for example, even in Malaysia, we have the daily papers have reported that 40% of poultry farmers have closed shops. So we used to have 300 poultry farmers, now it's 170. So there's a concern about egg shortage. Do you see the same risk happening in the UK?
Because of the laying hen cycle, which is 13 or 14 months, then clearly it takes a while for any changes to filter through. So, for example, if I've just taken on a new flock of laying hens at, say, 16 weeks, I'm going to look beyond the next 6 months and probably for the next 13 and 14 months there in the hope that the market will change. So what that means then, me as a farmer, I have to make a decision. You know, do I take my hens out early and stop producing eggs? But then that might benefit another farmer who has kept his hens in for that much longer, who will benefit as the market tightens and prices increase. So I suppose you could almost call it last man standing. So I've been doing a survey of some of our members, just asking, you know, what are your plans for the future? And so much comes back to, well, it all depends if we can recoup some of the losses we're making from the marketplace. So in other words, whether our customers recognise the increased cost of production and are prepared to pay that extra. If they are, then of course I'm going to keep my hens. If they're not, then clearly I'm going to have a very, very difficult conversation with myself.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Mark Williams, CEO and Secretary of the British Egg Industry Council. After the break, the manpower shortages in the egg industry. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Mark Williams, CEO and Secretary of the British Egg Industry Council, an interprofessional organisation of 11 trade associations representing the British egg industry. Before the break, are egg producers in the UK close to a breaking point due to rising costs, just like in Malaysia? Now, Mark, we seem to share many points in common as with regards to the egg industry, be it Malaysia and UK. But another headwind that I've noticed is the shortage of labour. It's such an issue that your industry did provide written evidence to the UK Parliament. And I guess this is also not helped by the fact of Brexit, right? So as EU labour accounts for 30% of egg production, what is the government, UK government, doing there to assist you all?
We would argue very little, unfortunately, and you're quite right. When the UK made the decision to leave the European Union following the referendum in 2016, many of our Eastern European workers because a lot of Eastern Europeans came across to work in the UK because our economy was booming. And they've done a fantastic job. Many have permanently moved across, had their families come with them, and are very much part of our society and were very much welcomed. Unfortunately, the referendum and the way some of it was conducted, in my opinion, led to many of those people feeling unwelcome. So they went home, and because their own economies then started to improve. So we were already planning as an egg industry the day after the referendum result that actually we're going to have to improve on how we do things. And all that improvement was basically employing more technology. Well, you can employ technology in the packing centres, which are effectively factories. So you can put robots in to do the work that, you know, some people were previously doing. However, on farms, when you're looking after livestock, and in our case, laying hens, then it's the eyes, ears, and the nose of human beings. In other words, the stock people who are so important.
Technology cannot...
The technology can help to a degree, but it cannot totally replace. But what, of course, has really compounded the labour difficulties is COVID. And, of course, gosh, most countries in the world have been very, very severely affected by it. And what we saw in the UK was that some of our Eastern European colleagues who were working, as soon as the lockdown restrictions were lifted, they went back to their own countries to see family, friends. And a lot of them have never come back. And so... My particular view at the moment is that our government just isn't listening to British business, and not just agricultural businesses, but the economy in general. We have a very, very tight labour market at the moment, and government has made the policy decision to control immigration. You agree with that or you don't agree with that. But what that has led, though, is that wages have been increasing, which is what government wanted, because they claimed previously employing Eastern European workers was actually holding wages down. So wages have gone up. But of course, I'm not an economist, but I think it's easy to understand why, if wages start going up and then you start getting supply chain issues like we've experienced because of COVID and the Russia-Ukraine conflict, that effectively then that starts driving inflation. So you then get into a potential spiral, upward spiral. And that's something which our government now is having to grapple with.
Okay, at this point, I do want to bring up the total cage ban proposals, which the UK government, at least the current one before Boris Johnson resigned, is committed to phasing out these systems. And BIC, you're of course a lobby group for the egg industry, but why is the market-driven approach better than an outright ban? I mean, do profits matter more than the welfare of animals?
Animal welfare, or in our case, laying hen welfare, is absolutely very, very important. I mean, food safety is the number one, clearly, but animal welfare is also very important, followed by the environment. If I take you back to 1999, and I choose that year because that is the year the European Welfare of Laying Hens Directive, which was a hugely important piece of European legislation, came or was adopted. And it then gave a 12-year phase-out of what we called battery cages or conventional cages across Europe. At that time, the UK industry was 78% battery cages. Roll forward to 2021, because that's the last full year we have data for, and we don't have battery cages. They were banned in 2012, but enriched cages, which are far better than battery cages, I may add. That percentage is down to 34%. And the huge increase has been in free range, which now accounts for, at retail level, it's probably around 80%. In overall level, it's probably around, 60% of total production. And that's totally driven by consumer demand. Okay. Government hasn't driven that at all, because we're in a free market. Retailers, on behalf of consumers, have said we would like more free range. So that's what our farmers have responded to.
But what about, these so-called enriched cages, which still exist, right? Because you're saying it's... some would argue that it's still not the best. You know, it should be total cage bans. Is BEIC very resistant to that? Is that really driven because of the higher cost of implementing a total cage ban then?
Okay. So when we met the 2012 battery cage ban, the UK egg industry invested £400 million. So, you know, times that by five for ringgit. And that was totally the industry's money, okay? No government money at all to make the changes. So therefore, if I'm an egg producer and I've invested into an enriched cage system, clearly I've got to pay my bank loan off. And so I want a usable life from that, okay, from that equipment. So you're right, the government is set out in its policy manifesto that it would wants to move away from cages in all farming systems, not just laying hens, as has the European Union. And the European Union is supposed to be coming forward by the end of next year with proposed legislation. Our current government, because the Conservative government, is toying with the idea of coming forward with proposals. It should probably happen 6 months ago. It hasn't happened yet. Will it happen? I guess so, but I wouldn't be 100% sure because government recognises there is a cost of living crisis. And, you know, all systems of egg production have advantages and disadvantages. So me as a farmer, my job is to make sure I maximise the advantages to help the hens and their welfare and minimise any disadvantages. So compared to a battery cage, an enriched cage, you know, we use much bigger cages, so you can have potentially up to 80 hens all moving around in this. It's almost like an aviary, actually.
Okay.
So hugely improved welfare over a battery cage, but our problem is it's still called a cage.
Yes.
And to many people, its perception is actually more important than reality.
I also wonder whether the consumer is prepared to pay more, because if you remove cages, like you say, costs will of course increase. Do you think the UK consumer is prepared to do so?
Well, the decision will be made for them because the retailers, and that includes what we would call the discounters in the UK, they've made a decision that by 2025, they will be cage-free. So cage-free, it's an American term, which came from over there, but cage-free in the UK means barn. So moving from enriched cages to barn. And then we still have free range and organic as well. Now, barn in the UK at the moment is only about 1.5% of total production. So if it was left to market forces alone, we've got about 8 million hens in enriched cages in the UK as I speak to you today. I guesstimate that in 2025, that figure will probably be down to about 2.2 million. However, if government comes forward with legislation, and clearly they can't just ban them overnight, they have to give a phase out period, it could be down to about two, well, they could be removed altogether by possibly 2030 to be replaced by barn. But if I'm a producer and I'm going to invest in barn, I want to make sure that I've got longevity.
Yes.
And that, you know, my retailer, customer, or and particularly consumers don't think, well, actually, I don't really like barn as well. I'm going to go to free range and then I'm left holding the baby, so to speak.
On that note, thank you for your time today. On The Breakfast Grill was Mark Williams, CEO and Secretary of the British Egg Industry Council. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.